Blog Talk Radio.
Tempered steel, glowing red in a bed of coals, the poet is born. Our story is riddled with challenges and changes, like blows from a blacksmith's hammer, bent and chiseled into shape. If only forging a poet were that easy. Emotional development, relationships, experiences, environment, and genetics all take a hand in molding the poet we are today. So tonight, we are going to read poems inspired by Mary Lambert. That opening song was Monochromatic by Mary Lambert. This is Double Helix on Late Night Poets. We are a group on allpoetry.com. You don't have to be in the group to participate, but it's more fun if you are. You can read and comment with us and just be a part of the party. I'm Afaziana. Now, my regular co-hosts, Dexter Bailey and Daniel Deschino, could not be here tonight, but I have the lovely Naomi helping me out tonight. Hi, Naomi.
Hello, Afaziana.
Thanks.
How are you tonight?
Here. Good. It was a busy day at work, but very fun. I had more than 50 kids at my little story time, and it was just like, you know, hectic, but super fun. it was a busy day running around reading to kids. How are you?
So cool. Yeah, well, I had a busy day today, too. I had an appointment this afternoon in the middle of a snowstorm. So, you know, 45 minutes of stressful driving in the winter. But, you know, we're in Quebec, Canada. So what can you expect? It all turned out good.
Well, I'm glad you got there safely. We have two callers so far. I believe one is Kate, also known as Weaver of Dreams. Kate, is that you? I think. I could be wrong.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
I am so sorry. I just gave you a beautiful greeting and said what a wonderful evening this is, and I was on mute. I totally apologize. What a
That's
peanut.
All right. It's good to hear you.
Hello.
And I am guessing, although I'm not totally sure, for some reason I think Laurent is here. Is that right?
You are correct.
Aha.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, Laurent.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi,
hello, Weaver.
Hi.
Hello, Faziana. I'm going to keep talking.
Hello.
Hang on a second. Yeah, you got to tell Weaver, Katie, that you're sending someone to take away her mute button.
The mute monster.
Oh, yes. True. Thank you, Lauren. I do need that, I think.
The guy's name is Rocco, and he's a little rough around the edges, but that's all right.
Okay.
Sometimes we need that. That opening song was our first prompt for the night, and we have a few entries for prompt one. So, Lauren, I'm going to put you up first because you wrote to prompt one, I believe.
Here put me right on the spot, won't you?
Mm-hmm. I will.
Yeah, I have to get my eyes on. Okay. This is called No Land in Sight. Lost in a sea of years, evolving into a buzzard picking at its own dying flesh. Faithful skin, bones dry and brittle, gainfully employed and willing to finesse. Turbulence of the swift stream that shot through me as a child, that energy of the earth so specific. Now fades into the unruly shroud of years past. Rain whips me like a lover, lashing with wet tongue and gusty breath, whispering in the dry husk of grain fields, nature will grant us our time, yielding only what we are due. Existence at two levels, comatose, or shot with fire, a flame to do the deed, whatsoever it be, a quiet at the dappled fawn who hides in the grass, vigilant with fear, frozen, invisible in plain sight. I have danced on the moon, swum the gaseous shoals of imagination, surfing the stars until I fell prey to the riptide of time, treading in deep water. A vastness of blue above and below. Perilous shadows undulate in the depths, and there is no land in sight. End poem.
Beautiful read and a wonderful poem. I like the water imagery all throughout. The beginning sounds more like a desert almost, with the buzzard that's picking you apart. And that idea of the sea of years being kind of an emptiness of, it's so vast that it's just unbelievable. But then it goes so quickly. Turbulence of the swift stream that shot through me as a child. I really like that. That idea of that energy, that vitality as this stream that moves quickly. And then as you go through life, it changes. The part with the rain, I really loved the movement of it. It whips me, lashing, it's wet tongue and gusty breath. The contrast between all the wetness and the dry husk of the grain fields is really strong. All throughout, the metaphors are just wonderful, and you have excellent vocabulary. Well done.
Thank you so
Weaver,
much.
What did you think? You're welcome.
Oh, as ever, absolutely wonderful. I so enjoyed it. I enjoyed you reading it, and I enjoyed looking at it. But I have one particular stanza that I love. I have danced on the moon and swum the gaseous shoals of imagination, surfing the stars until I fell prey to the riptide of time. Oh, that riptide of time, that is an absolute, well, I won't say anything else. It's not that great. I don't like the riptide of time. But I thought that was absolutely beautiful. And then you're treading in deep water, a vastness of blue above and below. Yes, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I really enjoyed it. And I'm going to be reading that later on again. So thank you so much, Roland.
And thank you, Katie.
My pleasure.
Naomi, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I had a cat attack. Sorry. As soon as I get on the radio, my cat needs something. She meows and meows and meows and, oh, boy. Anyway, that's fixed. So, yeah, this was this was such an amazing poem, Lorraine. I was really drawn towards every single stanza, which is so rich in metaphors. The buzzard picking at its own dying flesh. Wow, just like light the age. As we get older, the time and our time seems to be picking away at us. And it's as if we are, our own body is rebelling against us. And, it's picking us apart. Yeah, that is awesome. That is so great. But, all through, the just amazing, Aphasiana said, your metaphors are just, outstanding throughout this. I picked out the stanza, rain whips me like a lover, lashing with wet tongue and gusty breath, whispering in the dark husk of grain fields, nature will grant us our time, yielding only what we are due. Yeah, this is a wonderful write on how time can be so cruel, as a person ages. But, when you're ripped apart from that childhood innocence and, the real raw reality sets in, just that you show that so wonderfully in this poem, with all those emotions, they just seep through in that cruel reality there. And, I just love your ending stanza, of course. Bravo, as you think, treading in deep water, the vastness, blue water above and below, perilous shadows undulate in the depths, and there is no land in sight. Just that thought of drowning, slowly drowning inside of yourself. So just an amazing, amazing right here, Lorraine. Wow. Formidable, my friend.
Oh, merci. You've all been very, very complimentary. Naomi, thanks for picking up on the at first hand the metaphor, a buzzard picking at its own dying flesh. To the extent that one examines one's body as time goes by, we kind of forget this and we we pick a bat, and we test this, and we test that, and I'm eating, and all of a sudden, half of a tooth is in my mouth. You wake up in the morning, and the hip no longer functions the way it should, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to add infinitum. And, you know, you're always testing and probing and cursing, and that's kind of where the whole thing evolved from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in trouble because I already feel like that in my 30s. I can't imagine.
Oh, but the mid-70s are just delicious.
I agree.
Yeah, wow. Here's another menu.
Our next poem to the same prompt is by Dammit Dave, who I see is on the board with us, and it's called Shades of Gray. While I dream in many colors, I awaken every day, and I throw off all the covers, finding only shades of gray. In sleep, I find another world that's free of my despair. Kaleidoscopic kingdoms are all waiting for me there. But when I wake, the world is stark, and I don't want to stay. I'm wary of the black and white that makes life shades of gray. I must escape this monochrome, and slumber is a place where I don't have to face my life as tears flow down my face. The world's become a predator, and I feel I'm its prey. So I would rather live in dreams than face those shades of gray. End poem.
Great read, Ephesiana.
Oh, yeah, amazingly. You know, this is you wanted me to start comments right after you read, I think you said to me. You know, this is amazing poem on, you know, just escaping, you know, the monotony of life, you know, escaping reality, really, you know, the harsh reality of life. I must escape the monochrome. You know, I love that, you know, that metaphor there, monochrome, for just the, you know, how dull life can be, you know, it can be, you know, just, you know, lifeless. It can be just monochromatic. Is that what you say in English? You know, most people wake up, you know, feed the kids, go off to work, come home, you know, put the kids to bed, you know, feed the kids again, put them to bed, you know, go to sleep, go wake up, go back to work the next morning, come home, you know, same thing over and over and over again. You know, we're not in the world of the, you know, the rich and the famous, most of us. And, you know, so, yeah, I can understand this, you know, and I just love how he exploited shades of gray, you know, and he's wonderful, right, about the need to escape reality here and, you know, by in sleeping into that dreamland and staying there, wanting to stay there. And I can totally understand that. And wonderful, wonderful, right here by Dammit Dave, for sure. Wow, bravo.
Great comment, Naomi. I really liked the line, the world's become a predator, and I feel I'm its prey. There's something about when you're depressed or have anxiety where it feels like the world is against you, like just everything's going to go wrong. And there's that intimidating factor of, it would just be better if I just slept and, you know, just let the world go on around and I will escape that. I think that he really picked up on the mood of the song that, you know, was about the monotony of things, but also the sadness, the not having things to be excited about, that lacking the excitement and brilliance of the dreams. So he captured that. You feel the sadness in this. What did you think, Weaver?
Ah, never disappoints. Or damn it, Dave. Dave, damn it, you did it again. I thought it was wonderful. I really did. I enjoyed it. I only sleep 2 hours a night, so I don't actually dream. And if I do, it's nightmares. So I think the thought of other people's dreams fascinates me. Because, as I say, I don't have them. I just have nightmares thinking I've lost my handbag for some reason. It's the weirdest. But he's obviously thought about this so much. And he's decided that, yes, his dreams are full of colour and full of life and full of energy. Unfortunately, when he wakes up, his day is not the same. Mind you, Buster Keaton quite liked black and white, so, you know, it's not that bad. But I thought this was very clever, very good. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it, Dave.
That was a fun comment. I like the Buster Keaton line. Laurent, what did you think?
Isn't there a song, Life is But a Dream? In this case, the dream seems to be life. Lately, a lot of Damaday's poems have been, especially one that I read the other night, I forget the title of it, it was on a radio show, and it really mirrored my own emotions and feelings about aging and reaching, potentially at least, the end of one's life. Thank goodness mental acuity is still there, et cetera. But still, you know, you have to be a little bit rational about how long a person will live, even though my grandparents all died in their 90s. When he says, I must accept, escape the monochrome and slumber as a place where I don't have to face my life as tears flow down my face, I can identify so strongly wanting to escape the monochrome, and slumber is a real sign of depression. Dave is a little too convincing when he writes poetry like this. I almost feel like I have to reach out. What I did when I reached that particular point in my life, when it seemed as if everything was over and, you know, what are you going to do for the next few years kind of thing, I thought about when I was a child and I always wanted to work with wood. I became very enthusiastic about the idea, and I set out to assemble a woodworking shop in my basement, which I have done. And I spend most of my days creating, and it's given me a whole new perspective on life because it's given me something to look forward to, and it's given me a new way of expressing myself as opposed to the old way, with nothing, you know, against poetry, et cetera. But after a while, you need something new. So I would recommend to him to escape the monochrome and replacing it with a light of new discoveries and new abilities. The poem itself is an example of his remarkable grasp of rhythm, rhyme, flow. I mean, it's syllable perfect in that respect. And he does a great job.
That was an excellent
Don't ask
comment.
Me to write that down, damn it, Dave. It's too long.
But we have it recorded, so we can play back.
That's right.
Have it transcribed.
I need a transcriber. I'm sorry.
I can do that digitally now. Dave's laughing on the board. Wonderful comments, everyone. Our next poem is by Opti, to the same song. And Katie, would you read that for us, please?
Yes, of course, I'd be happy to. I'm just waiting for it to appear. Refresh. My system is... Oh, yeah, here we have got it. Wonderful. Colourful or Not by Opti. To dream in colour is a memory lost to me, a memory I can see in black and white. If then was now and tomorrow could be yesterday, any price I'd pay to be free. End poem.
Great read and powerful brevity. It always impresses me when people can say so much in so few words. I'm definitely not that concise. the idea of a dream in color being a thing of the past, you know, makes me think that the dreams, as in ambitions, might be gone. That the hope of the future and the imagination could be missing. Unless you're literally screwed up like me, because I used to have the most amazing dreams when I had a brain tumor. Very vivid and cool, so trippy. And then now that I'm getting healthier, I don't have the crazy dreams. And I kind of miss them a little bit. Because it was wild. Not saying I want a tumor back, but the dreams were intense. But I think here, it's not so much the dreams when you're asleep as it is the dreams of like the dream that you're planning, the dream that you see as possibility. And maybe as you get older, it seems like less and less of those are a possibility. So they lose some of their color. Then was now, and tomorrow could be yesterday. It feels like you're going backwards. And then there's that longing in the last line, any price I pay to be free. And there's the dot, dot, dot after pay and after be that makes you pause and think and see that hesitation as they think about being free. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, you can take this right in so many different directions. You know, it's very thought-provoking in so few words. You know, those last lines, any price I pay to be free. You know, free, but free from what? Is it the regret in this, you know, that you feel in this right, the longing for a time when the world was a more beautiful, colorful place? Is it, you know, like you said, related to, you know, maybe ambition, like you said, Ephesiana. You can just take this right in so many different directions, I find. And it's really, you know, a thought-provoking piece. You know, I read it earlier and I was there, you know, I read it over a few times. And, you know, each time it took me in a different direction. You know, I know for me, because I'm a very hyper, I talk calmly now, I try, but I'm highly medicated. But, you know, I'm so medicated because I'm really a hyperactive person. Like, I have this really hyperactive brain. So you know, I can't dream because if I don't take pills that knock me out solid to sleep, I wouldn't sleep. Like I was already in the hospital because I hadn't slept for like 3 weeks. And, you know, I ended up in the hospital. But so people that can dream for me, you know, wow. You know, I'd love to be able to dream. And so, you know, this poem for me, yeah, dreaming is a memory, you know, literally is a memory of black and white, of maybe a dream when I dreamed when I was a child way, way, way back, you know, when. So, you know, you can take this poem so many different ways. So, yeah, awesome, thought-provoking right here.
You know, I like your comment, and I think we all put ourselves into whatever we're reading. None of us can help but project a little bit as we read and see how it would apply within our own world. And so different readings can take you in so many different ways. Katie, what did you think?
As you both said, it's amazing how much can be put into so few words. I am conscious that I cannot do that very easily, and it's something I have to practice. So this is just an absolute dream for me. But yes, it is. to dream in color is a memory lost to me. Now that, that must be so difficult to cope with. If you remember you could dream in color and now you only see black and white, I mean, that's quite devastating. I remember talking about putting yourself into situations. I remember about 20 years ago when I used to sleep for a little bit longer than I do now, I had a dream, and in my dream I had a whole family. I had a husband, I had a life, I had children, and I woke up and it took me minutes to realize that that wasn't actually my life. And I'd left it, and I actually mourned it. I mean, it was as if I had lost the family. Your brain is so powerful. It's obviously something I needed to know about, something I needed to think about. But wow, you know, so I can understand that. Any price I'd pay to be free, because I would have given anything to go back into that dream again. Yeah, so very, very deep, very interesting, very clever. Thank you, Opti, for sharing with us.
That was a great comment. Thank you for sharing. Laurent, what did you think of the poem?
I really liked it. It's very thoughtful if you think about it. It has all the strength of great brevity. It has a defined direction while still being open to interpretation, which is always pleasant because it implies a subtlety on the part of the poem, on the poet who has slipped in perhaps misdirection or an alternate path of comprehension while still maintaining what he or she wants to say. And it's interesting that dreaming in color is lost to her. If I dream nonsense dreams, psychedelic, schizophrenic dreams that have very little bearing to actual reality, I dream in color. But most of the time I dream about the past. For instance, if you dream about the Civil War, or dream about World War II or World War I or anything in the early part of the 20th century, my dreams are all black and white because most photographs and television in those days is black and white. So they come to me, those memories, in black and white or alternatively in color, but less and less. So to me, it's a very interesting piece. Well, very well done.
That is so cool that you would have historical dreams in black and white. I love that. Naomi, can I get you to read the poem by Pink Fairy 5, please?
Yes, no problem. Running Towards My Vivid Dreams Nightly by Pink Fairy 5. I run towards the bed, wanting dreams to begin. Loving what happens night after night as I build my empire. It's not an egotistical world. It is a giving world. Started out with an orphanage where all the little orphan Annies have a place, laughing and singing and comradeship, loving their lives in the happiest place on earth. I am the ringmaster, so the music is mine. The sets are mine, but the stage is theirs. Eagerly, I leave my so-called real life behind. I close my eyes, knowing I will be introduced to new colors, new shapes, new experiences, new adventures. Recognized only after my most vivid dreams begin. End poem.
Wonderful read, Naomi, and great poem, Pink Fairy 5. I love the imagination of this, and the kind of criticism of what's real life. Sometimes real life doesn't feel as real as your imaginary life, especially if you're really unhappy in real life. I like the idea of her mind being what forms it, putting the music and the background and all that stuff in. It's based on her knowledge. But then the things that are the people and the things that she puts into it have a life of their own, and she gets to watch and experience how everything interacts and just experience it as sort of like the audience, and to see as dreams being her potential for adventure. And I like that it's not, you know, she's necessarily like the queen of a fancy place, even though it's her empire. It's all the little orphan Annies having a place to go. I played Annie in the play Annie when I was young, and I have a soft spot in my heart for Annie, and the idea of giving the little orphans a chance to find somewhere where they can have some fun. I think this is beautiful. Laurent, what did you think?
Again, a fascinating poem. To escape the mundanity of life and enter that realm, that magic realm, where he's a ringmaster. The sets are mine, the stage is theirs. Eagerly I leave my so-called real life behind. Close my eyes knowing I'll be introduced to new colors. Vivid dreams are a fascinating subject. Even more, a lucid dream. A lucid dream is when you know you're dreaming, but you're almost an observer within your dream. You know you're dreaming, but you can't really make anything happen. You kind of experience it. We dream about the things that we worry most about. So if you want to induce a targeted dream, and this seems to me, this poem seems to be an example of a targeted dream. She knows what's going to happen. She's going to go in to sleep and dream specifically about something. So the best way to induce that dream is to believe that it's just, whatever the subject is, whatever you want to dream about, it's important. And sometimes you can induce a dream. And I love the theme of this. I love the writing. It's a great piece.
Well said. Naomi, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know what? As soon as I read, her dream started out in an orphanage where all the little orphan Annies have a place, laughing and singing and comradeship. The happiest place on earth. So I was wondering just how much, she's wants to escape the harshness of the world, the homeless children, the poor, the injustices of this world, and leave them behind. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but maybe it's just the magical place of Annie, the orphan Annie, and that musical comedy that's so amazing. But that thought did cross my mind when I was reading it. So, and I just love her phrase, eagerly I leave my ha-ha, so-called real life behind. I just love that she put that in there. So just amazing right here all the way through by Pink Fairy Five.
I agree. Katie, would you like to comment?
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, I thought this was a very interesting piece of poetry because, Laurent, I take your point that when you fall asleep, you generally wouldn't have any control over what you were going to dream about. I give you that. But what we have to remember here is, A, we're dealing with a fairy, and secondly, she can write what she wants because she's the author. So she can make it up as she goes along, which I think is wonderful.
I can't argue with that magic. I can't argue with that magic.
I love the fact that she's decided this is what she... I think it's brilliant. I love it. all the little orphan Annies have a place. Is that not the sweetest thing? Yes. So I thought it was wonderful. And I love to hear everybody's comments because everybody thinks differently. And I love that about this process that we go through, that we can hear other people's opinions and somebody else's eyes will look at something differently. So yes, I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the information about going to bed and dreaming what you want. Thank you so much, Pink Fairy.
Thank you for that comment. Those were all the poems for prompt one. So prompt two is the song Some of Our Parts, which is a song that I really love. I'm going to play it. So we have the prompt in mind. Here's the song. Of our parts, by Mary Lambert, and I believe her partner Wyatt helped write it, but I'm not 100% on that. And our first poem in response to that is A Bird Without a Paradise by Colap. A bird without a paradise. It was an accident, so it seems, wasn't flushed out of the toilet, but clung on to dear life, they tell me. No phoenix, just tough as nails, raising myself like moss on a rock. From the drop that he spilt and the pot that she kept warm, blossomed into a bird without a paradise, a woman with 9 lives. End poem. Naomi, can you start comments on this one?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I just love, you know, the stanza that really stood out to me was, no phoenix, just tough as nails, raising myself like moth on a rock. You know, that is just so deep and powerful. You know, the strength that's in there, you know, that moth clinging onto rocks, that's just so visceral, that imagery right there. And, you know, she ends it with, you know, a blossomed into bird without a paradise, but a woman with 9 lives. You know, it's just like a cat with claws out, you know, going fiercely, attacking life and clinging to it and then moving fiercely forward. So, you know, very wonderfully written, powerful, powerful poem here by Colap, indeed. Amazing.
Well said. You pointed out the 2 parts that stuck out to me as well, that the 9 lives makes her cat-like. And it's funny that she's both a bird and a cat, because those two don't tend to give along. But, you know, she manages to be something that can fly despite not being given the opportunity, and also be a survivor like the cat. I really liked the moss on a rock as well. That it's always amazing when plants can grow in unexpected places, you know, through the pavement, on the side of a rocky cliff. Some life just is determined to live and survive and flourish. And I think that Colap embodies this in her poem and in her being. Laurent, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are very strange. No. This is a brilliant interpretation of the chosen prompt. Third stanza stopped me in my tracks, and the drop that he spilt in the pot that she kept warm, but in a good way. Colap has taken an elegant but blunt approach in voicing this right. It wasn't flushed out of the toilet, but clung on to dear life, they tell me, which is not like her, but not unlike her either, I suppose. Never say die, Colap. Never say die. Great.
Well said. Katie, would you like to comment?
Oh, thank you. Yes. A powerful poem, definitely. So deep. I mean, imagine if you were that person who found out that they were an accident and weren't particularly wanted, and maybe something had been done to try and make that, make an end to that, but you cling on for dear life because that's the way you are. And just tough as nails, raising myself like moss on a rock, which is, I mean, as you said, it's growing without any real means of surviving on this rock, because there's no air, you know, it's not an air plant. So I think this is just so clever. And as I say, it's quite devastating to me, because it must have been a horrible experience to know that. You know, I have had similar experiences as a child, so I can understand how it feels. but you've got 9 lives and you're carrying on. I thought that was absolutely wonderful. A nice bit of hope at the end, which is always good. So beautifully done. And thank you, Colap. I enjoyed it so much.
Great comment. The other poem to this same prompt is by Babbler, and we have an audio from her. Just find that here.
Lilacs in August. We buried him beneath a lilac tree, so every spring he smiles at me, a flower from my father's ashes, checking in to see how I'm doing. Hey, it's spring again. I can feel the ashes in my bones, the lash marks left by your tongue. Am I living well enough now? Would you be pleased? I'm not half-assing this thing called life, like you told me when I was young, before my heart was numb, and your words still stung. No room for me between my mother's sobs, little hands doing little jobs, calluses mounding on my palms, a heart of rage, the face of calm. And I saw you in the mirror. How did you find me here? Through the summers, through the years. Eruptions came and petered out. A sea of lava, an endless drought. I know how to make April rain, but there's only ashes in my brain. Showers never hit my face, daydreaming about razor blades. They tell me it's a gift from you. Those anger issues kissed me too. And today I planted a second bloom. Another man's living tomb, a little girl just like me, staring blankly at a lilac tree. Every spring may he smile at you, soulful eyes and a purple hue, a flower from your father's ashes, checking in to see how you're doing. Hey, it's spring again. End poem.
Beautiful read, and, you know, a heart-wrenching poem. Babbler is so open and honest in her poetry. I love that about her. She's my co-host on Part Sinner, Part Saint, so I get to hear a lot of her poems and her interpretations of things. I liken this that she is connecting with her father, with the loss of him, but also acknowledging that he was not perfect, that you know, she can mourn him and wish for connections, and still know that a lot of her darker qualities come from him, from the short time that she had with him, and from her genetics. I like the lash marks left by your tongue, and the idea that the ashes can be felt in her bones, these ashes that were supposed to grow something beautiful, and they did. They grew this lilac tree, and they grew her. You know, she came from him, even though he was something that was, you know, trouble in her life. He also was part of what nourished her into the person that she is. The other sad part for me is no room for me between my mother's sobs. Now I know her mother was widowed twice, quite young, and she had so many issues with depression that she had trouble caring for her children because she was mourning her two husbands. And that idea of no room between her sobs, that she was kind of lost to her mother's grief. She didn't get the attention. And yet she sees her father in herself. I saw you in the mirror. How did you find me here? How can she become like her father when she hardly knew him? Because he died when she was quite young, and she tried not to be like him in a lot of ways, and yet here she is, realizing that in some ways she's her father. I really liked daydreaming about razor blades. They tell me it's a gift from you. Those anger issues kissed me too. This has some powerful images, and there's a bluntness to it, a rawness that I love about her writing. Katie, would you like to comment?
Yes, thank you. I think this is wonderful. It's wonderful that people can get this kind of thing out in the open, because I honestly believe when you write something down, you're leaving a little bit of that on the page, and it doesn't all come back into you again. I thought that was just the perfect way to explain what was going on with her life. I also think parents should have to sit an exam before they're allowed to have children to bring up, because some of them make the most awful job of it. I mean, you wouldn't be able to drive a car without having, you know, passing a test, but you're given a little human being and allowed to do whatever. I just think that's quite sad as well. That, again, I'm sorry, that's just the way my mind works. So, yes, this is a very deep piece of writing, and it's an awful lot to share with people. It's great because you're allowing other people to know that they're not alone if they have a problem like this. Other people do have to live with that kind of memory as well. So I just thought, well done, Babba. Brilliant. Thank you for sharing.
You know, I agree. It's therapeutic to write things like this, and also it does help people to know that they are not alone. Laurent, what did you think?
No room for me between my mother's sobs, little hands doing little jobs, calluses mounting on my palms, heart of rage with a face of calm. This is beautiful and sad at the same time. Wonderful metaphors. The phrasing is intriguing, and her imagery touches my heart, as did her AN. The quality of writing is simply stellar. Much to appreciate here. Show me a parent that doesn't make a mistake. I'll show you an oddity. A lot of kids resent how they're brought up, yet the result of who they are as a character when they do grow up, I think, in no small part is because of the environment they grew up in. So they may see faults and all kinds of problems, but hey, they're doing well, mentally balanced, successful without.
Well said. Naomi, would you like to comment?
Yeah, well, I echo everything that everybody said. And, you know, I say bravo to Babbler for being so bluntly honest and sharing such deep, deepness parts of her and dark parts of her life, you know, which are, you know, like kind of, you know, bittersweet in a way. I think inside of each little girl or each little boy, there's I think inside of each of us, you know, a grown person, there's a little child inside of us wanting the approval of our parents. You know, I don't know if you grow out of that one day. I'm still working on that. You know, my father was a harsh man. He was a pastor. And, you know, I grew up without very many compliments and, you know, be pretty and stay, you know, sit down, be pretty, close your mouth and be nice. And, you know, and I'm still looking for him to say, you know, one day maybe, I'm proud of you because I'm the only one that put herself to university in our long list of family and, brought up 3 kids on my own and put myself through university. But I'm still looking for that darn approval of that darn man. And, you know, I think we see this here in Babbler's poem a bit. You know, maybe the reflection in the mirror, the way she talks about the father. I think we feel that, you know, that seeking of his approval. You know, will he be proud of me today, the woman I am, you know, with mixed in with so many other emotions, of course, wrote this wonderful, wonderful written poem.
Well said. And, you know, I think that that is a hard thing, where looking for his approval when it's too late to know, when he's gone. So it's hard to ever really truly feel that. That's a tough thing. That was the last one to that prompt. So I'm going to play the third prompt, which is another song.
Keeping my head above water is all that I know how to do, but it's kind of beautiful, oh, underneath it all. Ever since I was a child, was always a sad. Why you gotta cry all the time, all the time? Keeping my head above water is all that I can do. Did anybody ever teach you? Some people are born sad. Am I just born sad, born sad?
Born Sad by Mary Lambert, and she is very open about the fact that she has bipolar disorder, and she writes a lot about her mental health. She has a book of poetry as well as her music, so I don't know. I, as someone with mental health issues and weight issues and a whole bunch of things that she shares, I've always really connected with her music. So that is Born Sad, and our first entry for that is Katie's Weaver of Dreams. Do you want me to play the audio, or would you rather do this live?
No, I would rather you played the audio, please, because I tend to be
okay.
Very bad at using my own stuff.
That's all right. I have the audio here.
I wander along aimlessly, with little purpose. You would consider me a lightweight, I know. I've no wish to shine or stand out in a crowd.
That's the wrong audio.
I live my life on the down low. Yet I have a vague memory that once, long ago, I may have been a noble knight on a horse, with shining armor, carrying a huge lance, for slaying fierce, fiery dragons, of course. In that other life, I was brave, stalwart, strong. Lady Anne looked upon me with adoring eyes. As this dashing persona, I lived life to the max, but one could not say I was worldly or wise. I took on one dragon too many, the fiercest one, though I was warned. The dragon looked asleep. I got too close. It only took one fiery blast.
That's not the right audio.
I lovingly laid 6 feet deep.
No, it's not the right audio.
Can I feel my thoughts strain towards...
It's not,
okay.
But that's the only one in the
I remind
studio.
Myself how tough that life would
be. Could you just switch that off, please? I'll read it myself. Thank you.
Yes.
I must have put the wrong one on. I do apologize. I've done that before. Such a twit. But if you don't mind me reading it, is that okay if I read it?
Yes, that's just fine.
Thank you. Right, so wake up. Wake up. I should do it myself. I stand at the opening of a long, straight, dark tunnel. Freed from my corporeal body, all is air and dust. Each moment that I experience swiftly becomes my past, rolling out behind me, while the future is distorted. My scream is not heard, it is felt, reverberating within, muffled by the miasma of sadness that clings to me. I am flattened by gravity, held fast by regret, wallowing in ineptitude. But do I deserve it? Am I too pliant? In our waking world, we believe we have free will. But no, our world spins, we cling on, as nothing changes. Or does it? There's no point in cheering up or looking on the bright side. Pills only placate, they don't cure. Wake up, your planet needs you. End poem.
I love that ending. Wake up, your planet needs you. And I think that relates to the end of the song where she's saying, you got to get out of bed, you got to get out of bed. And there's that thing of, you know, sometimes when you're depressed, it's really hard to get yourself going. But the only way to get past it is to push through that hard part of getting up out of bed and realizing that you have to try to interact and to be a part of the world, that wake up, your planet needs you, is it's motivation even if it's not for your own enjoyment, to know that you can make a difference. The idea of not just cheering up and being fake happy, but doing what you can and making the most of things. I like that you talk about being flattened by gravity and held fast by regrets. There's something about when you're really, really sad, especially, I think, like, I've felt it. I'm not officially bipolar, but I basically have very similar tendencies, so it's theorized, that when you have the sudden change from the mania to the low, it's like gravity hits you super hard and you just can't carry yourself. You're weighed down. Like, it feels like you're literally weighed down by how crushing and sad everything is. And it just holds you down and you can't imagine lifting your head from the pillow. And that, to say flattened by gravity, I feel like you capture the feeling of the song. It's hard to say beautiful because it's so sad, but it also is. It's beautifully worded. Naomi, would you like to comment?
Yeah, well, you know, the my scream is not heard. It is felt, reverberating within. Muffled by the miasma of sadness that clings to me. Yeah, I agree, you know, that you, when you feel that, you know, you're just like a scream all in the inside, and all that anguish and all that sadness just won't come out, you know, and it just bears you down, like crushes you, like Ephesiana was saying, you know, flattened by gravity, like, you know, reciting what you said there in your poem, Weaver, you know, that's just such an excellent line there of representing that feeling that you feel when you're overtaken by that, like when, like Ephesiana said, well, I am bipolar. There's different kinds of bipolar people. I don't know if you know that, but you know, I am the kind that I stick in the highs mostly. So I need to be medicated because I fly high. I fly high. I can fly high for months and even years, you know, and do the most craziest things. But then I go into lows, but, you know, less frequently, you know, so I don't feel that overwhelmingness necessarily, you know. My problem is the highs. I just get carried away with everything. But, yeah, so, you know, it's really, really wonderful right here, Kate, and, you know, very well written to that prompt indeed. Awesome, awesome lines in here.
Yes, they think.
That's a good point, Naomi, about the different kinds of bipolar. I'm mostly lows, but when I go to the highs, my brain gets all scrambled and I have seizures because I'm thinking too fast.
Yeah.
So I end up being... Laurent, what did you think of the poem?
I really like the piece. And I'm glad you got to read it, dear. I don't know why you would bring a SoundCloud when you're here in person. So much better when you read it live. Puppy. The first four stanzas of the poem, exploring the dream state, also described, I thought, reality in the world today. Things seem to happen despite ourselves. We like, most we don't. The weight of depression being massive. Yes, we need to wake up. I thought it was a great write.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 2 hours a night, huh? It's about what I do. Give me a call someday.
Okay.
Oh, that's a date.
I doubt very much if I need a chaperone, because Laurent is a gentleman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Of course.
Naomi, I'm going to do yours next. Do you want to read it live, or do you want me to play the audio?
I'll read it. Yeah, I'll read it. Yeah, and I was a rebel. Of course, I'm always a rebel. And, you know, so I went with another quote. You know, I looked up Mary Lambert, and I went with another quote entirely different than the prompts you had up. So sorry, Ephesiana. You know, Pam knows for me for doing this. I always do this. So I took the prompt, body love is more than acceptance of self or the acceptance of the body. Body love is about self-worth in general. It's more than our physical appearance, by Mary Lambert. My body. What to do with my body? Put it to bed early? Get it up late? Make it do sports? What to do with my body? excite it, show it off, scribble all over it, and Coco Chanel it, what to do with my body, intoxicate it, purify it, pierce it to adorn it with jiggling chains and jewels. What to do with my body, make it run or meditate? I will grow old with it, whether it likes it or not. It will go wherever I go. What's the point of burning it out? What's the point of letting it down? What to do with my body? Stalking it to get it to betray its age? What to do with my body? Screw Louis Vuitton to its heels for a little more pizzazz? What to do with my body? Sell it? Give it away? Try to reshape it? What to do with my body? Heal it? Hurt it? Punish it? It will grow old with me, whether it likes it or not. I'll grow old with it, whether I like it or not. No choice. I'll just have to embrace it, stronger than fear, shame, or remorse. Grow to love it. Wear it inside and out, standing in it, proud and tall and poem.
That was a fantastic read, and I really love this. I think that Mary Lambert would as well. She runs a series of like webinars about body positivity. She's a plus size woman herself, and she has this thing called like everyone's a babe, and it was like everyone's pretty in their own different way. And I feel like she would like the vibe of this about taking care of yourself and accepting yourself, and you know, you can try to get in great shape with sports, and that's cool. And you can try to smell nice and try to decorate yourself, and that's all right. You can relax and, you know, not force yourself to wear the painful high heels, and that's all right. But there's so many different ways that you could treat your body, you know, the healing it, hurting it, punishing it, pushing it. There's so many different ways that you can interact with yourself, and sometimes it's hard not to see your body as like a separate entity from yourself, especially if you aren't well, or if you have if you dislike your body for whatever reason. There's like this separateness of not thinking it as you, but thinking it as an other. I like that you turn around your one phrase there, that you say at the beginning, it will grow old with me whether it likes it or not. And then when you repeat it, you also say, I'll grow old with it whether I like it or not. Because like whether you're okay with your body changing or not, it's going to happen. And your body is stuck with the driver of it, no matter what. You know, it might not like what you chose to eat. Sometimes, you know, our body kicks back. as someone with a lot of allergies that I sometimes ignore, I can tell you that my body protests. and sometimes the exercise, too. But I think that you capture that really well, the way that we have to choose how we treat ourselves, and that goal of embracing in it and standing in it and just being proud of who you are and accepting yourself. You know, that doesn't mean you don't work to make yourself your best self, but accepting your limitations and who you really are. I loved it. Laurent,
thank
what
you.
Were your thoughts?
Well, I really enjoyed this. What to do with my body? And you found the greatest answers to that question. To do with my body, to purify it, pierce it, to adorn it with jingling chains and jewels. That's a defiant approach to life and existence. Be who you are, as you say. Wear it inside and out, standing in it, proud and tall. I thought this was excellent, self-deprecating, humorous, and really absolutely realistic look at yourself and conclusions drawn. Well done.
Thank you, Laura.
Well said. Katie, would you like to comment?
Yes, thank you. Oh, Naomi, this was wonderful. I love the way your mind works. I think this is just so cool and so clever. All the things your body and you got up to, I liked it a lot. I love the Coco Chanel, my favorite perfume. But I just thought every stanza was just hard-hitting. You know, you're basically taking no prisoners. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm eternally grateful that I am so old. I've just got no time for any of this. I don't have to bother. But, yes, I thought it was a wonderful ode to what you and your body do and what you you decide that you're going to take control and do what you want. So I thought that was excellent. That last stanza, I thought it was great. Proud and tall. Well done. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate.
I'm really happy with all of the rights that are coming out of tonight's contest. And I was a bit worried because it was an almost empty contest as of yesterday, and then we got a lot of last-minute submissions that have been wonderful. It's worked out nicely. I think that's partly due to Pam. Pam has all the connections. She was like, "Do you need more rights? I'm going to go find awesome poets." And she did. Thank you, Pam. Our next poem to the same prompt is by Lockdown Larks. And Laurent, would you be willing to read that for me?
Happy to do so. The Breaking, Lockdown Larks. Who said being young was a thrill? Feeling sad, fault's not mine. But I must lay me down until an escape pathway I can find. Can't remember, but must forget, feeling empty after breakfast. Can I be, seeing only yet? So how can I break from this past? The mirror, what help do I see, reflecting beyond what is there? Can then a heartbeat protect me, all aboard the train of despair? Before the last stop, there was you, breaking through my bubble of strife. You helped me to see things anew. Now I love both of you in life. We cannot change all gone before. Just change our values as we go. The pain must have its to store. And trust love found to help us grow. End poem.
Well read. Thank you. I really liked the flow of this. The mirror, what help do I see reflecting beyond what is there? The heartbeat, protect me, all aboard the train of despair. To feel that sadness is really brought in there. But then the idea of finding someone who helps you see things differently. And it's not only that you love that person, that they are bringing life, but that person helps you see the other good things in life. Sometimes you need a fresh perspective, and seeing the things that someone else enjoys and having them show you how you can interact with the world in a fresh way can be rejuvenating, and you start over in enjoying things. I thought this had some really nice hope to it, and even though, you know, not all pain is going to go away, the pain of the past is still going to be there, must have a place to store, you know, nothing is going to be perfect, but you can still find things to enjoy through that sadness. I thought this was beautiful. Naomi, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, that really got me at the beginning there when he's talking about his childhood. You know, especially the second stanza, you know, can't remember but must forget, feeling empty after breakfast. Can I be, seeing only yet? So how can I break from this path? You know, and then, you know, the hope that comes in at the end of the poem. So a wonderful ride on rising up above and pushing onward after a hard childhood life and using that hardship to learn how to be a better person with a new vision and values to move onward in life. You know, it's just so brilliantly written and shown in this poem. You know, that hope that even if you, you know, like Laurent was saying earlier tonight, you know, in one of his comments, you know, some people, you know, they have the hardest childhoods. You know, they're just strung up. They're not brought up. They're strung up. And they turn out to be the most wonderful people, you know, and, you know, great, great jobs and, you know, wonderful life. So, you know, there's always that hope. There's always that hope. So awesome, awesome right here by a Lockdown Lark.
Well said. Katie, what did you think?
Well, it's lovely to see something from Lockdown Lark. I haven't seen any of his work for quite a while. Maybe I've not been looking in the right place, but it's lovely to see it anyway. This is one of those sad, a little bit sadder, oh, everything is good. I like that kind of, where at the end you have a ray of hope, which is, you know, you don't leave people feeling that, that nothing's ever going to get better, but you also need to understand that life can be so painful and so sad. So this, I thought, was great. I love the where he went from all aboard the train of despair to before the last stop, there was you, breaking through my bubble of strife. I thought that was beautifully done. Yeah. Yeah, and it's true. Pain comes to us all in one way or another. It's how you handle it, how you get through it. And you do need help for that because it's not something you can always do on your own. So I thought this was beautifully written and I really enjoyed it. And it made me think, which is always a bonus as far as I'm concerned. So thank you, Lockdown Marks. That was wonderful.
Great comment. Laurent, you read it for us beautifully. Would you also like to comment? Mute.
Are you on mute?
Yeah, I guess Rocco will be coming to see me too. let's see. To be dissatisfied with one's youth and not be able to escape it is not a happy thing. Because then, you know, when you look in the mirror, as he says, the Lockdown Lark says, the mirror, what help do I see? Reflecting beyond what is there. And then a heartbeat all aboard the train of despair. You know, when you look in the mirror and all you see is the face of despair, What else can break the reflection to something new? Well, trust love found to help us grow. When you find love, face of despair, despair slides sideways, and you now see the face of love reflected. And then you take pain and you bundle it up into a little ball, and you drop it into a little container and put it in a room where pain belongs, and you go on with life. It's a great piece.
I agree. So our next one is called Giving Up by Passion's Promise. Giving up. Down, down, beneath it all, down deep where crawfish crawl, I dance to tunes of a dead man's call. Wrapped I am in a sinner's shawl. I grasp for life, but it's 10 feet tall. Spinning world that steals my breath. I plunge, I shall to sudden death. In your arms I beg to be, but above the waters I break free. And down, down deep, there's strength I seek. Below the rim of a shallow sea. I fought the fight, from sea to land, a bitter truth between boy and man. In search of truth, I spilled out my heart, and delved I did till it fell apart. Drown I will in such despair that neath the sea I'll find comfort there. Above, below, which way to go? Beneath the sea, a beautiful show. To rise above, I'd feel the blow. And ride, I will, the roughest flow. But in the end, I'll sink below and enjoy the best of an aquatic show. Birth to date, I begged to survive and bounced back and forth on torment's tide. Like a buoy, I've seen the sea spun from it like years of debris. It's not easy being me. To be free. I hate to live this life, to breathe. I love you, but you ran from truth's show, and now I must let it all go. To grasp death's hand and sink below, beneath the sea, befriend life's final blow, down to the darkness where evil flows. End poem.
Yeah, I really like this write. That was an awesome, awesome read there, Faziana. Wow. You know, you really brought out the whole essence of this poem for sure. Not that read. That was just a wonderful read. And, you know, I love how she plays Passion's Promise does throughout this whole poem. She plays with the duality of, you know, being under the water, being above, you know, being in that lightness and being in that darkness. You know, I fought the fight from sea to land, a bitter truth between boy and man. In search of truth, I spilled out my heart and delved I did till it fell apart. Down I will in such despair that neath the sea, I'll find comfort there. And then when she speaks about, you know, I begged to survive and bounce back and forth on torment's tide, like a buoy, I've seen the sea. You know, so, you know, it's both bittersweet, the beautifulness of that drowning feeling, and then the floating feeling of being, you know, above in the lightness there. I have to read this, you know, a couple of more times. I didn't get to this poem before the show, so this is the first time I hear it. And, you know, my brain kind of takes time to assimilate things. But, you know, this is an awesome, awesome write. I just love the, I would just, flew, you know, it kind of just flowed easily down the page. But, you know, Afasiana's read of it, you know, was that fabulous too, that so that added to it. But, you know, befriend life's final blow down to the darkness where evil flows. So amazing, amazing right here by Passage Promise. Wow. Excellent right. On that prompt.
Great comment. I found this really pleasant to read. It had a natural cadence to it, a beautiful flow. It had rhymes that worked really well, crawl and shawl. There's another one that I really liked, was the debris. It had some really nice sounds to it. It had some wonderful analogies and the imagery of going down, 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 and you can imagine it symbolically. It goes through the different stages of life, a bitter truth between boy and man, that being stuck in between the things that happened during that time. You know, you tend to get your heart broken as a teenager, as you're still figuring things out. And to rise above, I'd feel the blow and ride the roughest flow. Sometimes when you're under the water, it doesn't seem as stormy And then you look above and you realize how rocky the waves truly are, and it almost feels easier to just sink below the waves. This really suits the quote from the song, "Keeping my head above water is all that I know how to do," but it's kind of beautiful underneath it all. And I think it goes with the metaphor of it very well. It takes the water and it tells the story using that same metaphor. Laurent, what were your thoughts?
I really appreciated what you said in your comment about liking the rhythm and the flow of the piece. But when I heard it and read it, it seemed very familiar to me, which made no sense because I hadn't read it prior, and it's a brand new poem. And all of a sudden I realized it was the way it was written that felt familiar. This is written in a very classic style. Its style goes back 100-150 years when poetry could be fine literature, and everything was structured in such a way and employed rhythm and especially rhyme as the primary essence of being a poem. And it's beautifully rhymed all the way through. And like you said, I love the cadence, love the feel of it. This is despair results from heartbreak. And we can bemoan the facts. And we can choose what metaphor we want to describe the way we feel. And being in the ocean, perhaps to drown the ocean of emotion and drown and go, interestingly enough, where passion's promise says where evil flows. That's quite a look at death, evil, as if he's been wronged in some way. He's willing to do this. I hate to live this life, to breathe. I love you, but you ran from truth's show, and now I must let it all go. When I was in the Navy, we had to tread water on a test. They throw you in this big pool, and you can't get out. They keep you in there as long as you can. They keep you in there until you start to sink and panic. Your arms are like two lead weights. Your feet don't want to move anymore. And you feel yourself going under. So to me, it's a great metaphor for the emotional morass you find yourself in, you know, sucking you down. The darkness where evil flows. Love to write.
Excellent comment. Katie, what were your thoughts?
I just think everybody said everything there is to say about this, which is wonderful, because it's such an amazing write. My only problem, of course, is being Scottish. You know, you've heard the saying about two nations divided by a single language. I think maybe I paraphrased it, but it's something like that. Because we say boy, and you say boy. So that kind of threw me for a second. So I had to sort of catch up after that. But it's amazing, isn't it, that the same can be called two different things and look almost the same. I thought that was fascinating. I love that about language. But this particular poem, I think, was so deep and so much in it. Oh, I fought the fight from sea to land, a bitter tooth, boy and man. I thought that was wonderful. So, yes, I think this is very cleverly written and very, very interesting. So thank you so much.
I agree. Very well done. Our next entry is by Robert M. And actually, Laurent, I think even though it's not quite your turn to read, I think you would be a great voice for this one if you're willing.
I'll be more than honored. Well, I should try to emulate his The Nothing Child by Robert M.
It doesn't have a SoundCloud? Sorry.
The Nothing Child by Robert M. There is a child who aimlessly roams, where no child should be allowed. and peeps into other people's homes and wonders why they laugh aloud. To him, joy is a mystery, so he is curious and confused. Throughout his life's brief history, he has been neglected and abused. Forgotten in the clouds of smoke and lust, drowned in laughter and in screams. The little one had no one to trust. His nightmares seemed the stream. As he cried, awakening each night, shivering from intense fear, screams for mommy. But of course, mommy is not here. As the years passed, he got a little older and realized what was going on. Without any shoulder, heart grew colder, and so all of his innocence was gone. His sorrow grew, but nobody knew, nor did anyone care to know. Through black and blue and crimson hue, he felt he had nowhere to go. So his heart was broken beyond repair, for goodness was in short supply. He soon was overcome with despair, and all he wanted was to die. So he got his wish, and that child died, as his dreams did long before. His grave is located deep down inside of my tainted and miserable core. End poem.
Excellent read. Thank you for doing that. Wow. This is a powerful piece. Very dark and, hits me in the feels. There's something about it when it's a child who is sad and neglected and abused that it hits me so hard. This just brings tears to my eyes. When it's talking about he peeps into other people's homes and he wonders why they laugh, that actually makes me extra sad because I had this little neighbor boy who was always trying to break into my house, and he was very young, like 5 years old, and it was because his house was so unpleasant. His parents were not fit to be parents, and he ended up being taken away from them, but it was just that part reminds me so much of that little boy that just been into other people's houses trying to wonder what it's like in places where people are happy. It's just devastating. And the color part, where is it now? Through black and blue and crimson hue, he felt that he had nowhere to go. The color choices there, the black and blue, the bruises, the crimson hue, the blood. Just the way that was put together through black and blue and crimson hue to rhyme with the new earlier in the stanza, it went so great. It flows. It was descriptive, but it also it's a very artistic way to talk about something difficult. This child who was beaten. The ending too is so powerful. When you're thinking about him dying, but then you realize that it's the inner child who has died. There's still the man, and he's just lost that happiness and that freedom, that imagination that he had because of the way that he was treated. Just devastating, devastating poem, but masterfully written. Very well done, Robert. Naomi, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, this is really, deep and heart-wrenching. You just wonder how much of this is really, Robert's past, and this is a real, you know, from reality, you know, because, you know, he has this darkness inside of him, which, you know, he says his grave is located deep down inside of my tainted and miserable core. So, you know, it makes it even more heart-wrenching when you know that this could be, you know, not just fiction, but true. And, you know, this, as he cried, awaking each night, shivering from intense fear, he screams for mommy in his plight, but of course, mommy is not here. You know, this is really, really, you know, like a kick in the gut, you know, when you read something like this. So, but, you know, that doesn't take away from the wonderful way that it's written. You know, it's very well, very, very beautifully written all the way through. So bravo, bravo, Robert.
Well said, Naomi. And Katie, what did you think?
Well, I have, sorry, I have always enjoyed Robert's work, and I enjoy The Darkness as well. I like that so much about his work. If you look in the AN, you'll see that this was written to the prompt, "All you have to do is write a very sad poem. The sadness should make me cry." Well, I think he did that in spades, because I found this very difficult to listen to. So heartbreakingly sad. And the reality is that it's not fiction, you know, it's not. This is happening all the time to people, children. And it does. It, any right-minded person would be having nightmares about this. So brilliantly done, Robert. You got me right in the solar plexus. I am nothing but a damp mess. But thank you so much. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed and felt hurt and wanted to give you a cuddle all at the same time. So thank you.
I like the way you put that. Hit you in the solar plexus, made you a damp mess, and you want to cuddle him and be mad at him at the same time. I love that. Rima is one of my good friends on allpoetry.com, and half of his poems, at least, have made me cry my eyes out. And I was like, I want to punch you, but also hug you. Like every single time. Every time. I've learned not to read his stuff on the air because I will just blub, like, I can't even say the word, blubber. Laurent, you read that very well. Would you like to comment?
Yeah. I enjoyed all of your comments. Just the voice. And it's an interesting thing to think about. Is this Robert for real or is it not? I don't know. If it's for real, I feel the pain. There are poets, though, who can take just a kernel of emotion and develop it and project very convincingly emotion of sadness, of darkness, of sorrow. Now, I find it much more interesting to write about dark than to write about light. Not that there's anything wrong with light, but after a while, there's only so much happy, happy, joy, joy that I can tolerate. It's not as interesting to me as the dark side, because life is dark. So many respects. I think there's much more to the mind from and extract in terms of emotion and relatability to a degree. Now, anything that Robert writes, I know is going to be well written. If it's going to rhyme, it's going to rhyme perfectly, interestingly, and this does. I have a lot of appreciation for the way he structured this. As you said, Feijiana, about revealing the inner child at the end being a great ending. It's a great piece. It convinced me somewhat that he, as tapped into his past to be like this.
Well said. We have one more poem from this contest, and that is Divided in Two by Agress Men. Naomi, would you read that for us, please?
Okay. Divided in Two by Agress Men. I woke up to midnight, broken by the cold where you once laid. I smelled your eternity, tasted your lipstick that kissed me so well. My heart's been eating loneliness since you've left me. I've died each sunset to the pain I can't forget. Your voice sang still waters where I sailed to mountains hidden in clouds. My body says I love you. My heart says I need you. But my mind is broken by the chaos that resides. So I pushed you away to save you from me till hate in me subsides. Is it the pills they prescribe? Why I'm so angry all of my life? I can't control this bitterness. It's taken everything from me, and that everything is you. The mood swings, the euphoria. I'm two humans in one shell. Sorry, my love, I've put you through hell. I'm desperate for answers, but can't be answered. Loving you more, I know the score. That's why I pushed you away. 'Cause I can't promise I'll be the same man today. But it won't be long, I've heard them say, until I'm not around and 6 feet underground. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. There was a sorrowfulness to your voice that was just right. And wonderful, right, Agress Men. This reminded me a lot of a song that I love called Hate Me Today, or no, just Hate Me, Hate Me by Blue October, where he's saying to someone to just be easier to hate him and focus on his flaws, to save themselves, because he knows that he's destructive in their lives, and that's what this does for me. So I pushed you away to save you from me till hate in me subsides. Just not wanting to be the danger or the darkness in the lives of the people who you love, because you can't trust yourself to be the good version of you. It's a real struggle to trust yourself and to accept that people have chosen to stay with you through the hard times. It's a tough thing. I thought this really captured that struggle. It has a conversational kind of plain language to it that I think is fitting for the subject, that it's just what you would want to express to the person you love, and to explain that when you leave them, it's not because you want to leave them, it's because you want to save them from yourself. It's very dark and heart-wrenching, and well done. Katie, what were your thoughts?
Oh, there have been so many beautiful poetry tonight, and some so sad. And this is another one that you wouldn't want anybody to have to go through this. You would wish that people didn't have to feel like this. It's awful that you have to think, I can be horrible at times and I could be vile at times, and I don't want you to have to listen or see or feel any of that. So the only thing I can do for you is leave you or push you away from me. That's awful, isn't it? But you can understand why there's bitterness and anger. It would be, it would make anybody want to spit, I think, because it's so unfair. Your mind, your own mind, is basically putting you through hell. Ah, and because there's an imbalance, it's an imbalance, a chemical imbalance, I should imagine. I'm only saying because I really don't know. But so maybe I should shut up because I'm probably saying all the wrong things. But I just thought it was very sad and beautifully written. So thank you.
Laurent, what were your thoughts?
The emotion that you can feel for people who suffer from bipolar, and I think all of us probably have times in our lives where we feel as if we're bipolar, but it passes. You know, so you're given that little taste of the dichotomy between my body says I love you, my heart says I need you, but my mind is broken by the chaos that resides. So I pushed you away to save you from me. So hate in me subsides. We all lash out at people, and we wonder why we did it, because we need them so much, or we love them so much, and yet in the same moment, we can be callous at times, and abrupt, and rude to the very people that give us the gladness to live, perhaps. I thought he did a fine job illustrating through the metaphors of pushing someone away, the uncomfortable existence of bipolar.
Well said. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, this, you know, really hit home for me because, well, I am bipolar. And, you know, especially, you know, that stanza where it says, the mood swings, the euphoria, I'm two humans in one shell. Sorry, my love, I've put you through hell. You know, I've pushed so many people away in relationships because of that. Or, you know, before if somebody's interested in me, you know, I have to sit down and I have to explain to them, okay, you know, I can be this way. This can happen. You know, it is hard. And you get so damn frustrated because, you know, you just do. I totally understand this. You know, I'm well medicated now. I've been stable for 5 years now. But before that, my gracious, you know, even my kids, I even drove away my kids because my, you know, when the roles get inversed, you know, where, you know, you're not the parent anymore, your child becomes your parent, you know, has to look after you because you've gone. You're gone, and you know, this really hit home. It's really a hard thing to live with, and you know, and it takes years and years. Well, in my case, like it took so many years. Like I was diagnosed in my late 30s. And I was only medicated, you know, well, about 5 or 6 years ago. So, you know, it takes years and years and years to find that right medication, that right balance of pills to be able to just, you know, live just, you know, a little bit normal. I don't say I'm all normal, but, you know, to be able to, to carry on your life in a suitable manner. So, yeah, great, very heart-wrenching and really hit a spot in me.
Well, Well, we're all out of time for tonight's show. Thank you so much to Katie and Laurent for calling in, and for to Naomi for being my fill-in co-host. I really appreciate that. I hope Dan will feel better soon and that Dex is having fun with all of his new adventures. So miss you guys. Thank you. I wish him well. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your poems, and have a great night.
Thank you so much.